my own with me, all my riches with me to heaven. So he took his three sons and he set them all down. He said, I'm going to divide my wealth evenly amongst you three. And here's what I want you to do. Here's the game plan. See, when they drop my casket in the ground, here's what I need you to do. I need you to take my money and drop it, put it in the bag and drop it in the casket with me as they drop my casket in the ground. So the kid said, okay, Dad, I got you. I'll do exactly what you say. So time came and the father passed. And then the day of the funeral came. And then while all the kids were at the reception after the funeral, they saw the middle brother looking very sad. So the older brother walked up to him and said, hey, man, what's wrong? Like, why you looking so down? He said, listen, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't put all the money Dad gave us in that bag. So the older brother was disappointed. He said, how could you? Like, what? How could you? What happened? What possessed you to not put all the money in the bag? I mean, Dad asked for it. So he said, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I looked at my bills, and then I looked at the money. Then I looked at my bills, and I looked at the money. And I thought to myself, Dad wouldn't mind if I paid my bills. So I paid my bills. I took a little money for myself and for my kids, and then I put the rest inside the bag. And I put it in. So the older brother said, shame on you. And he said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I put all the money in the bag and I dropped it right inside the casket. Right as he asked us, I did the exact thing that he told us to do. So then they found the youngest one. And the youngest one had a smile on his face when they walked up to him. And so they were going back and forth about who was wrong and who was right, about what made sense and what didn't make sense. So they went to the youngest one, seeing what he did, and then he had a smile on his face, and they said, well, what did you do? He said, I did exactly what Dad told me to do. I put the money in the bag, and I put it in the bag, and I dropped it in the casket. And then they started to look at the brother. They recognized he looked real sharp today. He had a nice watch on, had a nice suit. His wife looked good. So he was curious. He said, what did you do with the money? He said, I'm telling you again. I put the money in the bag. I dropped it in the casket. He said, are you sure? He said, yeah, because I wrote Dad a check. And if Dad riches really made it to heaven, he'll cash it, and then I'll know that he got it or not. But until then, he's going to get a check today. And the moral of the story is this, you can't take it all with you. No matter how much you think you try to outwit God, you can't take it all with you. But can I tell you guys, the biggest travesty of life is not the fact that a lot of us try to take our riches with us, but the fact that a lot of us are dying with gifts that God gave us still inside of us. One person once said that the richest place in the world is not a gold mine, it's a graveyard. For people die with dreams bigger than Steve Jobs, bigger than Oprah, bigger than Bill Gates. But because of fear, doubt, insecurity, they go to the grave with those same gifts inside of them. I once heard somebody say that your gifts and your talents and your skills is God's gift to you. But how you use those things are your gifts to God. So here's what I'm challenging you guys here today is. It's to live in the garden, not to live in the graveyard. So as we hop into this, let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance that we get to hear from our Father. Father God, this is a privilege that I do not take lightly. Sit Michael down so you can be lifted up, Father. And as the head of this house is away, Father God, grant him Holy Ghost rest. Renew him in every way, shape, or form, Father God. And may he enjoy great intimacy with you and with his family. Father God, bless his family while he's gone, Father God. May not one thing be off in their household, Father God. But most importantly, Father God, may we all continue to come here and to continue to commune with you. Father God, we know that, Father God, you are not in dead things. You are alive, God. You are the living God. So, Father God, as we come here today to hear from the living God, Father God, have your way in this place. May we never be the same. May we come out better than the way we came in. And in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. So, guys, as you guys know, I'm the youth pastor of this church. I don't know if you know, but just giving you an update. I'm the youth pastor, right? So I came one day and I asked God, I was praying one day, and God, I was saying, God, how can I help the kids transition better from youth group to the church? It's because I recognize, no disrespect, guys, but you guys are getting older, right? I'm getting older, right? I just happen to look good while I'm getting older, but I digress. But nevertheless, right, what I recognize is that I wanted, because at the end of the day, those kids are the future of the church. So I wanted to see how I could help the kids transition to getting better. And then God said to me, Mike, who are the freshmen that usually have the most fun in high school? I was like, the ones that play sports? He said, no. I said, the ones that dress well? He said, no. He said, the people that usually have the most fun freshman year are the ones that know the most upperclassmen in the school. I was like, yo, that's right. So I was like, well, God, how does this tie into the kids coming to church? He was like, well, the kids have to get to know the people inside the church. Put them in predicaments where they have to get to know people inside the church. So one of the ideas came to me where, hey, let's do a community garden, right? So I came to Deb, because let me tell you this right now. Where I'm from, the only garden that we know is a garden that you could go to jail for selling whatever's in it, right? So literally, I just said, you know what? I didn't know where to begin. So I went right to Deb, and Deb had all these ideas. I'm not going to lie, when Deb was saying all these garden terms, it sounded like she was talking Spanish to me. But nevertheless, you know when you're lost and you just keep nodding your head and agreeing like, yeah, mm-hmm, that, yeah, that sounds good. So I was agreeing with Deb, and then Deb and Heather took on this task. But here it is. I guess Deb was reading my mind. I guess Deb was going to preach this message on this day. She said, Pastor Mike, she said, if this is something that you really want to do, here's what I'm going to need you to understand. If we're going to do this garden, we need to do it now. Because if we do it any later, it'll be out of season. I'm going to say that again. If we want to do this garden, we need to do it now, because if we do it any later, it will be out of season. And guys, the sad part about it is we got a chance to enjoy some beautiful flowers out of that garden. It was a chance to bless so many families, and most importantly, get a chance to even bless the kids, to get to know Deb, to get to know so many people from the church. But had we waited any longer, we would have been out of season with something that was God. But it was out of season, out of time. So guys, my challenge to you guys is, the first question I'm going to ask you guys is, are you in season? What I mean by that is real simple, guys. If I saw somebody come out here in a basketball jersey and basketball shorts in this cold weather, I would think you're very sick, and I think you'll tell you you're out of season. I think everybody in this church would think that you're out of season. And a lot of times, we're pursuing certain things that God has called us to do, but we're out of season. Today's verse was real simple. There's a season to reap. There's a season to sow. There's a season to heal. There's a season to kill. Are you guys in the right season? But before we even get to the right season, let's ask this real question. Are you even in the right place? It's because guess what? I still travel a lot, but sometimes I used to catch Ubers and Lyfts. And the main thing about an Uber and a Lyft is that, guys, you need to know where you're going, right? The Uber won't show up. It won't begin to show you the trip unless you tell them first, hey, I'm going here. But the next thing and the most important thing is it needs to know where you're located. And guys, it won't give you a trip. It won't give you a driver until you tell it where you are located. And a lot of us are not honest about where we're located in life. A lot of us are not honest about our relationships, not honest about our marriage, not honest about our finances, not honest about our health. Therefore, we continue to get frustrated with the journey because we're not honest about where we're at in certain places in life. And I'm here to help you guys first identify where you're at, what season you're in, and where you need to be. Because we all know where we're going. We all know that at the end of the day, no one has ever made it out of life alive. We're all going somewhere. But the question is, when you go to that somewhere, will you have regrets or will you have rewards? Oh, wow, that's serious. So, guys, the first thing I want you guys to understand is this, right? Is are you in the garden or are you in the graveyard? Now, the garden represents a lot of good things. The garden represents life. It represents peace. It represents fertility. It represents prosperity. It represents protection. And one of the things I love when I looked up the meaning of a garden is I love this one definition of it. It represents community. Where you see all different types of flowers, all different types of things, yet they still manage to coexist in this one place. It represents community. Now, the graveyard is different because the graveyard represents death, of course, right? The graveyard represents the past. I never heard somebody be excited about going to the graveyard. I never heard someone say, yo, you know what? Let's plan a family trip to the graveyard. Guys, make sure you have your cameras out. I never heard it before. But everybody takes pictures at the sunflower patch. Everybody is so excited to cultivate their garden. So my question is to you guys, where are you right now? Are you in the garden or are you in the graveyard? Now, probably say, Pastor Mike, I'm in the garden. I'm here to help you out right now. A lot of us, especially a lot of us in the faith, we are not in the garden. We're in the graveyard. How do I know by that? Because a lot of times, right, I can tell you how one way you can identify you're in the graveyard when you're always in the past. No one ever goes to a tomb and say, hey, you know what? Oh, man, let's talk to this tomb about the future. You only relive the memories that you have with that person that's in the grave. And a lot of times in life, when we go through a hardship, all we do is resort back to the past. Man, my marriage was good in the past, man. I don't think it could be any better. Man, my kid was an angel when he was first born. I don't think it could get any better. Man, my life was better before the pandemic. I don't see it getting any better. You're in the graveyard. And my challenge to you guys is don't live there. You can visit there, but don't live there. Rick Warren said that the biggest hindrance to tomorrow's success is today's. Kobe Bryant said you cannot win today's game off of yesterday's points. And a lot of us are not prisoners to our thoughts. We're prisoners to our past. And what if I told you that your inability to get past your past is the reason why you can't embrace the present, therefore go on to a better future? So, guys, that's one way I want to challenge you to say, let's get out of the graveyard. But here's one question you can easily ask yourself about whether you're in the graveyard or whether you're in the garden. And here's a simple thing I'm going to ask you. Are you planted or are you buried? Are you planted or are you buried? See, when the seed goes to the ground, the seed thinks, oh, my gosh, I got a new start. But when the body goes to the ground, it says, oh, my gosh, it's over. And a lot of us, when we go to the ground, when we go through that hardship, when we hit rock bottom, we think that it's over. And a lot of us are saying, you know what? God is done. God has buried me in my doubts. God has buried me in my shame. I buried myself in my shame and myself in my bad decisions. But what if I told you that God is not burying you, he's planting you? That all the time people threw dirt on your name, that all the time you felt life was throwing dirt on you, it wasn't to bury you, it was to plant you. And the same thing you thought was killing you is actually holding you. But if you continue to have a bad perspective about what God is doing, you'll miss out on where God is taking you. So family, I'm here to tell you this right now. You're planted, not buried. Don't look at it as the end of you. Look at it as the beginning of you. Well, Pastor Mike, I always tell the kids this. I said, if I can't give you no scripture, don't believe it. But one person that was planted, but it seemed like he was buried, was Joseph. His brothers threw him in the pit. He did nothing wrong. And then out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he went through all these trials. He lived with honor. He did everything he was supposed to do. But here's the thing that a lot of us Christians missed out on when we hear Joseph's journey. See, we see that Joseph gets the nice coat, so we assume that Joseph was spoiled. But nowhere in the Bible does it say Joseph was spoiled. We just assume it. I get my kids nice coats. They not spoiled. I hope you get your kids nice coats. They're not spoiled. That's what you're supposed to do as parents. Now, of course, it admits that his father loved him more than he loved his brothers. So whether he was spoiled or not, it doesn't matter. But the part that we miss the most in Joseph's journey is that throughout every hard time when he seemed like he was buried, it said, but God was with Joseph. Wait, hold it. Joseph did nothing wrong. He going through hell. The Potiphar's wife blamed him for something, and he literally tried to be in honor. But God was with Joseph every time? And here it is, guys. Can I please tell you this? And this is probably one of the most important things that I had to get. Guys, understand this. Just because it feels wrong, doesn't mean it's not right. What I mean by that is there's some things that we perceive as punishment when God is using it for preparation. There's some things that God can't get out of you at the level that you're at right now. So in order for you to reach that level, he has to prepare you. And that's why I gave you those flowers, guys. Not because I just love you, because you guys are amazing. But because, guess what? I called Deb up. I was like, hey, Deb, can you give me some information? Deb was my top research analyst for today's sermon. And I said, and it gave to me all the stuff about gardens. And guess what, guys? There's a process that a rose goes through, and it's called pruning. And the reason why the rose goes through this process is, hear this, to make way for better growth and for new growth. So the rose prunes away at things that looks good, that seems good, but we got to make way for something better. And a lot of us were in good relationships. A lot of us were in good jobs. A lot of us were in good contracts. A lot of us were in good things, but it wasn't a God thing. And if God would have kept you there, you would have remained complacent. And God's saying, daughter, son, I got to prune you. Because if I don't prune you, you won't grow. And I need you to grow, not just for you, but for everybody else around you. And Deuteronomy, God said to the people, I sit before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live. A lot of us don't recognize that our decisions do not only affect us, but affect those that come behind us. So instead of seeing it as punishment, just see it as pruning. The next reason why I gave you these flowers is this. When Deb came in to go speak to our kids, right? I'm making Deb. Deb should be up here preaching, right? I'm giving all Deb. But I'm bringing my other partner in this, right? When Deb was preaching, right, Heather said something to the kids that I think is worth mentioning. Deb said, hey, you know what? You got to continue to take care of your garden, guys. And whether your garden is your mind, whether the garden is your life, you got to continue to take care of your garden. And you got to pull the weeds out. And then Heather said, but guys, you have to be careful. Because sometimes weeds can often look like flowers. And guys, there are some people in our life that they look like a flower. But boy, they're a weed. Not they smoke weed, they're a weed, all right? Let's get it clear. They're a weed. What it means that if you let it linger long enough, it can hurt your growth. It can hurt what you got going. Now, listen. I watched Deb and all the kids in heaven plant all these plants. So I'm like, wait, hold it. How the heck did a weed get in there? And guys, it's a part of the process. Let me also help you with something, guys. Christians, becoming a Christian doesn't make your life easier. It doesn't make it battle-free. It means that victory is guaranteed. In order for God to be your salvation, for the Lord to be your salvation, there needs to be something that you need to be saved from. In order for him to be your shepherd, there needs to be something that you need to be guided by. In order for him to be your refuge, there needs to be something that you need to run away from and escape to. So David said all these things, not because it sound good, because he knew it to be true. So guys, when you're going through this whole process of weeding out people in your life, I need you to understand and hear this, because we don't miss what Heather said here. She said, be careful. Because can I tell you this? I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 80 or 8. Do you know what a lot of us do? If something looks like a weed, we pull it out before we even get a chance to see that it's a weed. And a lot of times we do that because of what? Our past. Oh, you know what? You start talking like my ex-boyfriend. You know what? No. Forget you. No, forget it. Wait, hold on. What? Are you perfect? Like, can he make a mistake? Oh, you sound like my friend. You know what? You sound a lot like this person who did me wrong. You know what? And guys, in the Bible it says that we must be careful about pulling out the wheat, because we can also mess up the harvest. So a lot of us are so quick to cancel people out of our life, to push people away because of our insecurities, because of our doubt. Now that doesn't mean you don't use discernment. It just means that you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who they are. Let me tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Judas was a weed. I was like, Judas got to be a weed, God. He got to be. But if there wasn't no Judas, there wouldn't be no cross. So was Judas really a weed? And a lot of people that you think, now listen, if you got a Judas in your life, that don't mean that you keep him around. That's what I'm not, don't get me wrong by that. But what I'm saying to you guys is, can you use discernment on the people that are around you? And most importantly, can you use discernment on your own thoughts? Can I tell you this, what a lot of us do, and this is what God is working on me on in my own life, is recognize that I got to cultivate the garden of my mind. How many times we assume something and we be completely off? Well, I thought you meant this. Well, did you ask me? Well, I thought you was, well, did you talk to me? I was sitting down with Big H and L Boogie one day, Linda and her aunt and my guy Big H. And listen, I was sitting down, they celebrate 59 years of marriage. Give it up for them guys, 59 years. Listen, I wouldn't be married to me for 5 years, but 59 years, that's steep. That's like a life sentence to me, but nevertheless, right? So I was asking them all these questions, and I was like, yo, guys, how you got that long? How do you make it? And then one of the things that they both agreed on, it was almost like they said it simultaneously. They said you have to pick which hill you're going to die on. You have to pick which hill you're going to die on. I was like, what do you mean by that? They said not every battle is worth you fighting. Not every battle is worth you fighting. And guys, if you're going to cultivate this garden, you got to understand that there's some things that's going to happen. There's some battles that are going to happen, but you have to choose which battle you're going to fight. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Not just any fight, but the good fight. So if your garden is going to make it to a healthy garden, you have to understand what fight you're going to fight. Now, another reason why I gave you guys this is because, Deb, correct me if I'm wrong, Heather, correct me if I'm wrong, but we saw some crazy weather during this pandemic. I mean, it was storms, it was dry, it was this, it was that. It was some crazy weather. But nevertheless, when we came out and gave all the elderly people, the high-risk people, these vases that were the mason jars that had all these flowers in it, all the flowers were beautiful. But yet it saw all this crazy weather. And how does that apply to me, Pastor Mike? Because despite the weather, the flower still made it. Hey, guys, despite the weather in your life, you still made it. Despite all the hard times, despite all the adversity, you still made it. Despite all the times everybody told you you wasn't going to amount to nothing, you still made it. Despite the failures, despite the setbacks, you still made it. And a lot of times we think that the weather is harming us. No, the weather is helping us. My grandmother will walk around the house all the time singing, saying this one verse. And I never got it because I was young. I grew up in a church, but all I knew was what they taught us in children's church. And my grandma would say the same verse, count it all joy. She would say it all the time, Mike, count it all joy, Mike, count it all joy. And I'm like, Grandma, what the heck are you talking about, count it all joy? But I'm going to read the verse to you guys. It's in James 1. And if you guys, you could turn to it. And here we go, because it blessed me. And it's real simple, and I'm going to read it from just the NIV version. It says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So guys, when she used to say this, I didn't know where she was going with it. But when I actually sat down and read the verse, I recognized that the trials that I thought were hurting me were actually helping me. Now, another reason why I want you guys to look at this rose, that every time you see whatever flower you got, the lesson I want you getting is two more things, and I promise you guys we'll get out of here, right? I got to give you another five more things, but don't worry, we'll get out of here, right? The second thing is, every last one of you guys picked up a different flower. Everybody in here has a different flower. It speaks to diversity. As I already alluded to earlier, the garden symbolizes community. The saddest thing that hurts my heart is the same God that created all those flowers is the same God that created all of us. How animals could find ways to get along in a jungle. How flowers could find a way, they don't have no problem but to get along with each other. How flowers can still find a way to still be loved in a world full of differences, yet people, we struggle to get along. We struggle with community. We struggle with being each other. We struggle with loving each other. So guys, when you look at this flower, remember that this flower was once, if you had a rose, that flower was once in the garden with a sunflower, was once in the garden with a lily, was once in the garden with a tulip, and yet it had all this community, yet it did not dim the light of that tulip. It did not dim the light of that flower. It did not dim the light of that rose. So, guys, as these elections come up, as life continues to grow, hey, guys, please, don't dim the light of your brothers and sisters because they see things differently than you do. Continue to lift them up. Continue to be there for them. Because, guys, guess what? There's no right or left side when you go to heaven. There's only one side. And how we love our brothers, not who we vote for, will determine the side that we end up on. And the last thing that I want you guys to get before we hop into another part about it is this. Is, guys, with this flower, make sure you honor those that you love while they're still alive. I didn't share this with a lot of people, but my uncle died during COVID from complications of COVID. And my uncle was like a grandfather to me almost. He was a veteran. He fought for this country. He did all he could. He was an honorable father. He was an honorable man. When I went to my last high school, he used to take me from Irvington all the way to Wayne. If you know where Wayne is from Irvington, that's a trip. Every day he was taking me for about 3 months. And it was always on my heart to go see him, to go see him, to go see him. And then all of a sudden I would say to myself every day, you know what? I'll get to it. You know, because, you know, when you're old, there's about so much you could talk about in a senior citizen home. Well, at least that I thought. And I kept pushing this away. Kept pushing it away, kept pushing it away. And then one day my mom called me and she said, Mike, your uncle is passing away. They don't know how much time he has left. So I'm praying hard because he has the complications with COVID. I'm praying. I'm like, oh, you know, God, please. I'm like, hey, God, listen, if you give me another chance, I would love to see my uncle before he passes. But, of course, because he was at such high risk and he was in a senior center home and he was a veteran, that we weren't allowed in. And I didn't get a chance to go to the funeral because this was literally at the peak of COVID when all this stuff was happening. So now a man who, if you walked up to him, if you could ask him to this day, he'll tell you that, Mike, that's not my nephew, that's my son. A man that viewed me in that light, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to. All because I made it about my comfort instead of making it about him. And guys, not do I not only want you to not go to the grave with your gift and still inside you, but I also don't want people who you love to not know that you love them. When Big H and Linda said to pick what hill you need to die on, guys, that applies to everything. The Bible says we shouldn't go to bed with strife on our hearts. Because we give a foothold to the enemy. Guys, let me ask you a question. Is that beef that you're having with your child, with your family member, or with a friend, is it really worth it? If that person leaves this world today, how are you really going to feel? The Bible says we're called to overlook offenses. And guys, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to say, man, I wish I could. If you have time today, please make it right. And guess what? I know, let me tell you this. I know one thing, and listen, this is one thing God had to work on me huge on. I hate going to reconcile stuff when I know I'm right. I hate that when I was like, but God, she did this. He did that. I Mike, go in there and make it right. And sometimes you hear, well, I knew you'd come around sooner or later, and you'd be ready to smack the person. Like, But is it worth it? God's peace is priceless. And I'd rather go to the grave knowing that I did everything I had to make it right. Now, guys, here's what I want you to understand, guys, is listen, understand this. In the same breath, don't confuse that with trust. Forgiveness is on us. But trust is for a person to earn back. So, guys, if you do your due diligence to make certain things right, just make sure that they don't. A lot of times we say, all right, you know, I made it right. I can allow that person back in my life. Guys, that's what comes when it comes to use discernment. Because, guys, if I'm being honest with you guys, right, there's a lot of people that they may have to remain in our heart, but they can't remain in our lives. Pastor Mike, what do you mean by that exactly? The Bible said that David loved Saul. He did anything he could for Saul. He honored Saul. But guess what? when David wanted to come back, he went to Jonathan, and he said, yo, listen, if your dad acts this certain way, then I'll come back. You got to give me a sign. And guess what? Despite the fact that David loved Saul, he had to go. Because if you read how Saul even responded to his own son about David, you'd have knew that, yeah, David, it was time to go. Had David stayed, his love for a person would have cost him his life. There's some people that you're going to have to love from a distance because your garden won't get a chance to grow. Amen, family? So, guys, now that we understand exactly where we're at, now that we understand exactly what we're doing, here's five things I want you to get, and then we're out of here, guys, because I'm cold. And then we're going to be real quick, right? Oh, man. The first thing that now we establish, everybody say, I'm in a garden. Everybody say with your chest, I'm in the garden. Okay, cool. Let me tell you this, guys. The first time fellowship was ever mentioned in the Bible was in the Garden of Eden, right? Jesus' toughest moments, Jesus met a lot of times with the disciples in the garden. So here's five things I want you guys to get. The first thing is that now that you know you're in the garden, here's what I need you guys to do. I need you to cultivate and protect your garden. Everybody say cultivate. Everybody say protect. Guys, Proverbs 4, verse 23 says it real simple. Guard your heart above all else because from it flows the issues of life. Hey, guys, a lot of times, we end up heartbroken because we put our hearts in the wrong hands. Listen, if we would have led this whole initiative of the community garden in my hands, that community garden would have like a pile of dirt. I got no business doing that. I could have Googled, I could have YouTubed, I could do whatever. But guess what? When I put it in the right hands, like Deb's the first person I ever met in life that loves lawn mowing. I don't love lawn mowing. My mom had to threaten me to mow the lawn. She said, Mom, I'm kicking you out the house if you don't mow the lawn. All right, Mom. We put it in the right hands, and therefore it went somewhere. A lot of us are putting our hearts in the wrong hands. When the Bible said, you guard your heart. Because your inability to guard your heart. Because listen, let me tell you this, guys. When something's broken, what do we usually do? Throw it away. Or bring it back to where we got it from. So if someone breaks your heart, oh, you, I don't want it no more here. You can have it back. When it's your heart. How about you put your heart in the person's hands who you know that's always going to be there for you. Who you know that will never leave you nor forsake. How about you put your heart in the hands of God and see how far that gets you. The next thing I want you guys to do is, guys, and please hit me on this one, guys, is I need you guys to remain planted. Everybody say remain planted. Well, Pastor Mike, how do I remain planted? Trust in God. The lemon tree doesn't look at the orange tree and say, yo, your fruit look bright. Man, forget that. I'm going to be an orange tree tomorrow. No. That tree remains planted and continues until its fruit show. So, guys, here's what I need you guys to do. Trust God throughout the process. What scripture are you going to refer to, Pastor Mike? Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. And it said, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends its root by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Well, Pastor Mike, okay, cool. Trusting God sounds good. It sounds like a devotional, right? It's so easy to say, trust God. All right, so where do I begin about trusting God? How about every relationship starts with a hello? Trust does not happen overnight. It happens over time. And a lot of us, it's hard for us to trust God because if we're being honest, we don't know God. We go into his building. We worship at his church. We have a Bible. We do all the good stuff. We tithe. We do all the things that a faithful Christian would do. But guys, hear this. Can I tell you this, guys? You're not just a Christian. You're a son and a daughter. It's a difference. You're not just a churchgoer. You're a child. And let me tell you this, guys. Here's why I need you guys to build a relationship with God is because guess what? I'm a father, too. I got two boys, and listen, you got to pray for me. Because my boys, they're a handful, but I love them. But one thing I recognize is I could tell when my son's about to use me. I could literally identify when they're about to use me. Because they'll walk up to me, and they'll give me compliments. They'll say all good stuff. They're like, oh, my gosh, Daddy, your outfit looks nice. Wow, Dad, you look amazing. Are you getting stronger? Wow, Dad, I see. I'm like, yeah. They're like, Dad, you know what? I don't care what nobody in the church says. I love the fact that you don't wear socks, Dad. You're amazing. I'm like, you know what, son? You're right. They're like, well, Dad, you know, a new video game just came out. Butter my biscuit just to eat me up, man. But a lot of us are just like that with God. A lot of times, I love what this one meme said. It says, for a lot of us, prayer is not our steering wheel, it's our spare tire. The thing that we use in a case of emergency. And here's the thing, right? I identify when my son's about to use me. And sometimes it took me a while to recognize it, like, they're trying to play me. But God knows our heart. He actually knows when we're about to come to him to go use him for something. And yet he still loves us. But guys, why do I need to, Pastor Mike, if he knows all the stuff, why do I need to know? Because, well, I said the top of this, that you've been given a gift. And if only way to get to know God and get to use that gift properly is by knowing God. How do you know that? Well, the story of the man with the people with talents, right? It said he gave each one according to their ability. But guess what the man said who didn't use his talent? He said to the master, I knew you to be. That means that he heard of the master only through association, never through relationship. So that means that he actually heard people say something about the master, but he never experienced it himself. And for a lot of us, God's going to be that person who, you know, some people in high school, you walk past the hallway and you're like, oh, yeah, I know that person. I know their name, but you don't really know them. When someone said a rumor about them, you'd be like, oh, they might have really did that. And why are you questioning it? Because you never knew them. You only just knew of them. So it's hard for you to say, but when someone says something about your friend, like Mike Peel himself, you're not going to believe that. Because you know me. John smacked Mike in the face. You're not going to believe that because you know John. Well, I don't know because John might. I take that back, John. You might. But Jesus still loves you. But nevertheless, you know someone. There's certain things you can't tell me about my child because I know my boys. There's some things when I used to get in trouble every time in school. And teachers used to say stuff like, listen, Miss Smith, he did this, this, and this. My mom wasn't shocked. She was waiting for me to leave school so she could whoop my behind. But why she wasn't shocked? Because she knew her son. And guys, if you want to remain planted, and if remaining planted means trusting in God, finding your confidence in him, you need to get to know him. I heard the saying that I love. We can't say God is quiet when our Bible is closed. How can I get to know God? Get to know him through his word. Get to know him through prayer. Get to know him through fellowship with other believers. Get to know him through worship. Get to know him through just simple acts. Get to know him through life. And when you pray, allow God to speak back. If you don't allow God to speak back, it's no longer a conversation. It's interrogation. And let me tell you this. I'm telling you this right now. One thing I've noticed as a pastor that I hate the most is when someone comes to me like, Pastor Mike, you won't believe what happened. I'm like, okay. And I let you vent. I let you let it hang. But then I got to go, Pastor Mike. You got to go. So hold on. You just unloaded all this. Oh, man, you don't want to hear nothing that I have to say. That's how a lot of us are with God. So if you want to remain in this garden, you got to make sure that you remain planted. The next thing, guys, I want you to get is this, guys, is keep watering. Keep watering, guys. John 4, verse 14, guys, put it real simple, guys, that we have to keep watering. Keep watering ourselves. Guys, got to understand this. You can start off with a garden, but if you don't take care of that seed becomes a grave. Keep watering yourself. Water yourself with his word. Water yourself with his love. For if we go to the living water, we'll never thirst again. Guys, also remember what you planted. Remember what you planted. When we didn't start seeing the fruit that we wanted in our community garden, it's only because we knew what we planted. Guys, when you plant trees, when you plant fruit, the first thing that is shown is not the fruit, nor is it a stem, nor is it a branch. The first thing that is shown is a leaf. And a lot of times when we see that little bit of growth, all of a sudden we become complacent and we stop watering. How often do we pray and pray when we're going through disaster, then once the disaster or the tough time is over, we forget all about God? How often do we do and show up to church when our life is going haywire, when we need God, when we're lonely, when we're single, and then once we get in a relationship, we forget all about God? Once we get the job, we forget all about God. Guys, continue to keep watering yourself. And even if you're not seeing fruit, continue to keep watering yourself. The Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years till it ever shows any sign of fruit. 5 years. Nothing rises above the ground for 5 years. By the beginning of the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree rises to over 72 feet. Well, what made the Chinese bamboo tree go over 72 feet? Was it the water on the first day of the fifth year? It was the consistent watering for that first five. Guys, we don't know when we're going to reap, but can you continue to remain diligent? Can you continue to keep watering yourself even when you don't see no hope? In other words, can you trust them when you can't trace them? Continue to keep watering yourself. And guys, the next thing I want you guys to understand is this. Still see the beauty in yourself. One of the ladies in the choir yesterday, she picked up the flower and she says, "Oh my gosh, I love this flower, but I hate the thorns. I love this flower, but I hate the thorns." And a lot of us, right? You're still beautiful, but you're hating your thorn. And there's someone in the Bible who hated their thorn as well, and that man was Paul. He prayed for that thorn to leave. He prayed for it to go. But what did God say? "My grace is sufficient. My strength works best in your weakness." So I'm here to tell you, you're still beautiful. You're still amazing. But don't resent your thorns. Because your thorns is what makes you beautiful. Your thorns is what keeps you close to the Father. Your thorns is what makes you, you. And the last thing I want you to get is, guys, this, right? If you could turn to your Bibles and go, this is the last thing that we've done. John 20. John 20. And then we out of here. I'm going to be singing Chestnuts Roasted over Open Fire when I get home. And I can't even sing. Y'all pray for me, bro. I have too much fun with life. All right. I'm going to come from verses 1 and 2. Then I'm going to go all the way down to verse 11 and 18. All right? So it says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples and the one that Jesus loved and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him.' So now Peter, everybody went running. They went running all over the place. Then now we go down to verse 11. It said, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked the woman, 'Why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked the woman, 'Why are you crying? Who is looking for you? Who are you looking for?' Thinking he was a gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you had carried him away, tell him where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said, 'Mary.'" She turned down. She turned towards him and cried out, "Rabboni." Jesus said, "Don't hold me too long, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God, your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them about the things she has seen. Pastor Mike, what are you saying? Mary went to a dead place to look for Jesus. She went to Jesus' graveyard to look for Jesus. He wasn't there. She found Jesus in the garden and thought he was a gardener. And what I'm here to tell you is this. If you don't get anything from today's message, God is not in the dead things no more. So a lot of us are looking for God in certain things. You're looking for God in that dead business. You're looking for God in that dead relationship. You're looking for God in that dead past. And God's saying, daughter, son, I'm not in there. I am in a living thing. And notice it said, Mary went when it was still dark outside. Hey, guys, listen, a lot of us in our darkest moments, we're still forgetting that we serve the God who is the light. Not a light, the light. So, guys, I challenge you right now, stop going to the graveyard. Go to the garden. Because in the garden is where you find life. In the garden is where you find growth. In the garden is where you find potential. In the garden is where you find future. In the garden is where you find him. Get out of the graveyard. And the reason I want you out of the graveyard, because when you go to the graveyard, I want you to say, oh, well, not what if. I want you to say that you gave your all to life. Now, do you wish you had more time? Steve Harvey said, the most important thing on your tombstone is not the day you were born or the day you died, nor is your name. It's that little dash between the day you were born and the day you died. What did you do in that dash? What took place in life? What happened? And what a beautiful remark for someone to say, you are a garden. Every time I'm around you, I experience life. Every time I'm around you, I saw the love of God. Every time I'm around you, I experience peace. The graveyard can't produce more seed, but the garden can. Guys, it's time for us to live in the garden. It's time for us to live with our Father. Amen? All right, family, let's stand up. So, guys, I thank you for rocking out with me in this cold. I know you guys want to go home. I want to go home. If you're doing dinner, please forward me a plate. but, guys, I thank you for today. Guys, have a blessed one and be safe. All right? So, guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Father God, I thank you for everyone that came here today and those that are joining us at home. Father God, I pray that you meet them. Father God, just as you met Mary. And Father God, where these people are looking for you in a dead place, Father God, may you guide them to the living place. And Father God, may you guide them to you. May we no longer live in the graveyard. May we just live in the garden. May we dwell in your secret place, Father. And Father, forgive us for every time that we went to the graveyard, lived there in our minds, and help us to be who you called us to be, Father. Now, Father God, if anything of my flesh has crept into this time, may be quickly forgotten, Father God. May only the things of you remain, Father God. We ask all this in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And guys, I'm going to give you our benediction and then we're out of here, all right? All right, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power, not just our power, according to his power, that's what works within us. In Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, forever. Amen. Go in peace, family. Have a blessed day. Oh, also, can you please help us break down, set up,